Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, that we come into the presence of the throne in the name of Jesus, singing praises, worshiping Him and Him alone. Glory for your grace, dear God, that causes our hearts to sing His praises, giving Him all glory. Thank you, Lord, that He can be magnified in us. And Lord, in that it is well. Thank you, Lord, no matter what's going on, no matter what the sea is doing, Lord, we're on the rock that is higher than any of us. We're so thankful today, God, how you've come so wonderfully. Hallelujah, in the power of your might. You're touching hearts here today, dear God. And Lord, you're doing it through your word, the word of your grace, preaching and speaking truth and love, Lord God. We're growing up. We're growing up into the sons of God. Thank you, Lord, that we know this. Thank you, Lord, that you've told us this. And thank you, Lord, your grace is causing us to take heed. Now, Lord, let us just wonder and marvel in these wonderful truths that you've given us, Lord. Let us rejoice, God, that we are your sons. And Lord, now are we the sons of God. And your care is for us, and your care is upon us. And your spirit, Lord God, has been sent to work in us. Now, Lord, let us give over to it. Let us open up our lives, God, and not withdraw or hold back, but come boldly this day. God, break down the walls. Break down the indifference this morning, dear Jesus. You're pressing and you're preaching your word and your grace to us, Lord God. I love you. I love you. I love you. Come unto me. Now, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for every life here this morning. Have your way. May we magnify the beautiful name of Jesus. And in that name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. If you'd open your Bibles with me today, and isn't it wonderful that we say that in this place? Praise God, open your Bibles. Hallelujah, open your Bibles. Hallelujah. Boy, you talk about starting your engines. Praise His name. But in 2 Corinthians, we're going to the 12th chapter today. And I believe that you're turning to what may be the craziest portion of Scripture in the entire Bible. And there's quite a few crazy portions, praise the Lord. He's crazy in love with us, and that's what faith does. It causes us to believe the things we cannot see. Thank you, Jesus. But I do believe, too, this is the least preached upon portion, maybe the most misunderstood, and really, I believe, maybe the most intentionally avoided. If you ever want to keep a congregation for too long, huh? No, I'm just teasing. But I do believe it's intentionally avoided. But it's the paramount of truths in Scripture, brothers and sisters. And I pray today that it becomes the love of your life to suffer together with Jesus Christ. What a privilege. 12th chapter, 6th verse. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Listen to these things. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, this was the only thing that Brother Paul ever gloried in about himself. The only thing. Because this is the glorying that magnifies the work of Jesus Christ upon that cross. This is the glory that is only given to God. This magnifies the cross beyond anything we could ever imagine. This is a life that magnifies Christ in me, the hope of glory. Glorying, listen to this, in infirmities. Now, how marvelous. And again, one of those things, this has got to be God. I love it. See, man can't write this. Man can't even conceive this. This has got to be God. It's so good that only God could conceive and bring forth a plan like this. See, man can only glory in achievements. Man only glories in his strengths and tries to cover up and hide the weaknesses. Now, let's stay together here today. And now, ladies, I'll start with you. Ladies first. And what do they preach to you? I'm talking about the natural ones, the beauty supply companies. Let's magnify your strengths. Let's put those strengths out there. You might have beautiful eyes and all, but those other things, let's cover them up and hide them. Amen? I see the brothers, you know, shaking their head, looking at their wives, you know, like, brothers, now your turn. I remember, and I'm right there too, hey, come on. I remember the first time I went into a gym, and I wanted to really start training, and I was just a teenager, and I remember this guy was showing me around, and, you know, I kind of observed things I shouldn't be, but I was noticing some stuff, and I said, man, there's some big guys in here, and it was hot summertime, and they had their muscle shirts on, and they were pumping their weights like this, but most of them had on sweatpants. And I said to the guy, I said, man, are these guys just trying to lose weight? They look so in good shape. And he says, come over here. He said, I don't want to say this too loud, but he said, they're ashamed of their legs. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, you ever heard the expression, they're riding a chicken? Magnifying strengths and covering up the weaknesses. I told you, brothers, it was coming at you. Now, think who's famous in our world. It's the strong, the pretty, and the smart. Amen? Sure it is. Click on a website page, whatever it is. That's what you're going to see. The beautiful. We don't give honor to the weak, the dumb, and the ugly. We hide that. But you see, that's just what God is looking for. That's exactly where he finds opportunity. He believes that that's just ripe to magnify the strength of my son in this. And let's get this through scripture right now. Whether it was Moses the stutterer, God said, you're going to lead my people out. Whether it was Rahab the prostitute. Well, I just think that that needs to be the Lamb of God's great, 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 great grandma. Amen? How about Gideon? I love that, brother. I always think of that when God's, I know, encouraging my heart, and I'm always looking behind me for the other guy. And there ain't nobody standing back there. It's me. And he said, I'm from a nothing family, and I'm the less of the least of the nothing family. But yet God made him a mighty leader, a mighty warrior of Israel. And then finally, praise God, we get down to Paul, the one who sought to kill Christians, ripped them out of homes, mothers, dads, children. He did not care. He was merciless. He was brutal. And yet God said, no, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Is that really, there's sometimes I pray to God we feel things. Is the blood just rushing, the hair standing, something? Brothers and sisters, this is God's pattern. This is his pattern again and again and again. This is the way that he does it. He takes the no ways. He takes the castaways, the misfits, not just the one-offs, but he takes the cast-offs. Amen. The despised, the lowly, the rejects. He takes the beggar from the dunghill and he sets him on a throne. I'm looking at a lot of royalty today.
and you don't stink no more. Jesus came, and His Word washes you, cleanses you. Beautiful, beautiful. Even feet, praise God. Hallelujah. But you see what's so marvelously precious in this portion of Scripture today is this wasn't just a one-time experience for Paul. There's lots that can rejoice in this, and I'm thankful to God that truly when you understand the salvation power of Jesus, you know that you were lost and dead in sin, and praise God, He quickened you and made you alive in Christ. But it wasn't a one-time thing, praise God. Now, yes, that death to life everlasting, but I'm talking about the quickening power of His love. I'm talking about, praise God, this experience to be brought low. And Paul received this daily. He prayed and he coveted these infirmities. Everybody got quiet. Let's read that again. He prayed for and he coveted and gloried in these infirmities. And he wanted more. He realized that they were the greatest of blessings to his life. It was the only way that as we read our scripture today, that the power of Christ was going to rest upon him. That Jesus Christ was going to reign in his life. Do people call you a nut too? Do they think that there is something wrong with you as well? When you can look up and say, oh no, happy am I. Happy am I. That gift, that act of due benevolence between a husband and a wife, oh, it wasn't just given to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Lord, I accept this gift as the greatest of treasures, because I understand only with a mature heart can I stand before you in absolute awe, prostrate before you, saying, Lord, who me? Who, me? The privilege to suffer together with Jesus Christ? Come on now. Come on. Aren't we thankful today? We don't sorrow and suffer as them that have no hope. We get it. The light came on. Praise God, I see the plan of God. It wasn't because of something that I did. He's not sitting there with a big stick. And I believe 90% of Christianity is sitting there thinking that way. But see, that's how the devil wants you to think. That's why prosper and health doctrine has come in and infected the church so. Pray for those people. Pray for them. Paul would have been the biggest failure in the Word of God. And yet he was the chosen vessel and he suffered the loss of all things. And he said, and I'll tell you what, I'm still not even going to glory in that because it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that Jesus Christ is bringing me into. It's not worthy to be compared with the gift and the offering and the love that I'm going to receive. I'm such a nothing. These sufferings that I'm going through right now are nothing compared to what the love that you have, that you've already given, but the wealth and the exceeding riches of your grace that I'm going to walk into. That's a vision. That's the vision. And without that vision, brothers and sisters, you will perish. It'll wipe you out. Things will come and you'll say, no, I can't. But when you have a vision, you can say, oh, no, I can. And I can rise up because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what we're talking about here, brothers and sisters. You see, he knew this and he apprehended it. He realized this was Christ reigning in him. This was the way to be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me tell you something. The fullness of God is found in one and only one place, and that's in the Lamb. Simple. God made one-stop shopping all throughout the Word of God. He's not a God of confusion. There's but one way. And that's it. And there's but one gospel. And that's Paul's. And he said, and preach none other. Let's not be confused. And he said, come in here boldly and let's get it. There's but one race. There's but one prize. There's but one high calling of God. And praise God, it's in one place, in Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh, the oneness of our God. Oh, the oneness of it all. If you just go after Christ, you can't miss the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I marvel at his simplicity. I marvel at his greatness, but thanks be to God, it has to be in simplicity to deal with the likes of us. Had to be. No, you're not that smart. Matter of fact, you're not smart at all. And you'll grow into that as you grow in grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll realize he's I am. You'll realize he's very God of very God. You realize by grace and grace alone, this is coming and growing in your life. That it's not of man's mind, oh no, it's of the Spirit, praise God. And it's by my Spirit, and it's by the revelation of the Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, it even gets better. Most here believe that this was referring somehow to Paul's poor eyesight. It says in the Word of God, with a large letter he wrote these things. Some have even think that this was because Paul was a very ugly man, that he had somehow pockmarked skin. And I will say yea and amen to that, that sure, those are infirmities. But brothers and sisters, there is something far greater going on here than the physical. I believe Brother David touched upon it in the 139th Psalm, where he said to the Lord, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. If there be any wicked way in me," let's get done with this, "lead me in the way everlasting." What a wonderful verse. And I believe that's the pinnacle of these precious infirmities. They're the temptations, brothers and sisters. Listen to this. They're the temptations in our lives that seemingly won't go away. Didn't we read thorns divinely allowed of God to be delivered by Satan himself? "Have you noticed my servant Job? I'm going to show him off. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to let you get at him." You thought the hedge of protection was just going to have you on the lotus land of ease, didn't you? You don't realize what you stepped into when you started to step into from glory to glory, even into the image of him. Are you doing this? Are you getting giddy and smiling? Pastor's gone crazy. It's his truth and love. Amen. See, we don't think these things strange. They don't catch us unawares. My goodness, he's got door after door of unknown glory for me and you. If it was the door that I picked, it wouldn't be. But that unknown door, the path to new inheritance. But you see, brothers and sisters, God was dealing with Brother David at this time. And Brother Paul knew so sweetly, through the word of his grace, that these thorns were divinely allowed of God to be delivered by Satan himself. So the question really here today is, do we really want Christ to be magnified in us? Boy, that's something, isn't it? Now, it's easy to say yes, but when we're thinking upon these things, do you really want Jesus Christ to be magnified in your life? I believe we've got a lot of hope in here because you know that this is the message that we preach. This is Paul's gospel. Matter of fact, this is Brother Paul receiving the word of God through the Holy Spirit and divinely penning this out, the truth in love. But how wonderful, brothers and sisters, as we listen to this, we know that he has to buffet us. All right? Now, lots of people think, well, buffet, that means weakened in the way. Well, yes. But let's really understand what buffet means. It means to take the blows of a fist. It means to be beaten. When Jesus Christ said, "Pick up your cross, take it up? He wasn't kidding. Will you go? Brothers and sisters, do we really see how much grace we need? Do you really realize how much the eyes of your understanding need to be enlightened in order to apprehend this and embrace the sufferings of Christ? I hope you know this. I'm not trying to scare you. I pray that you see that this is a glory beyond, and God willing, we'll wrap it up in that today. But this is serious stuff. Will you go? And praise God, we're not here to magnify the sufferings. He's magnifying the glory to come. But God help us, He's spoken of these things, and I want you to understand fully well, when we give God the glory in these things, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory, even in, yea, the valley of the shadow of death. Now, He has got to buffet us. And brothers and sisters, He planned it specifically for each one of us in ages past, that we should walk therein. God knowing something far beyond the hair on our head, God knows our downsetting and uprising. He knows, let's get it down to what it is, what makes you tick. He knows exactly what sets you off, as you might think, in a good way and in a bad way. Come on. And here it is, the infirmities that we receive of Him that He gave to us. And I'm talking about today specifically, brothers and sisters, the things that we call upon God to take from our lives. Listen to what Brother Paul said. I sought the Lord 3 times. Lord, take this from me. I don't want this anymore. This cannot be good for me. I'm looking even into your truth and in your word, and this is too much. This is something that might not magnify you in the way that I think it should. This isn't a testimony, Lord, of what I think my life should be before the people of God. Does anybody have that at all, or is it just me? Have you been there? Yes, you have, and you're there today because His word is alive. And praise be to God, let's face these things in the great glory that's before us. These are the things that we call upon God to take from our lives. And sometimes He does, because He shows you so magnificently, nothing's hard for me. I've seen Him take alcohol from a life. I've seen Him take drugs. I've seen Him take anger. I've seen Him take anything and everything. Because in the name of Jesus and in the will of God, it's done. It's done. But what I'm talking about today are the treasures that He leaves. The things that cause you to come back to church. The things that cause you to get in your closet and kneel down and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, this is greater than me. But I know greater is He that is in me. Now, this is a time, brothers and sisters, by faith, that we have to really lock in to grace. And the Spirit is willing. Yeah, I know the flesh is weak. I'm right there with you. But I'm here to preach the Word of God that the Spirit is willing. And I'm here to preach the grace of God that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm so thankful today, brothers and sisters, that these are the things that we do know. The things that no one would even guess about our lives. I'm not talking about the things that we're trying to hide from one another. I'm talking about the things that we've left to God's keeping. Do you have things you've really left to God's keeping? that you sought the Lord thrice about, Lord, take it from me. But yet, he said, oh no, if I took that from your life, you'd start thinking you were something. You might even start thinking that, man, somehow you're the power that walks on the water. Nope, I'm finding out it's the grace of grace that says, yep, I got this thorn, Lord. But still, in Jesus' name today, I was accepted and embraced and loved and doted upon. Just as when maybe I didn't have it before, or yet I've always had it since. Do you get what I'm saying today? Do you realize how much He loves you? Do you realize how perfect the plan of God is in your life? I pray that you're not confused this morning. This isn't allowing sin to reign upon us. Oh, no. But these are things that I know that God divinely has sent. And yes, He's got use of any messenger He wants. And let me tell you something. Those messengers of Satan can't do anything without Him saying, okay. Let me tell you something. If there's a job of evil to do, He's got wicked appointed for that day. Doesn't He? Do you see how wonderfully He's orchestrated this? How carefully and beautiful in your life? And yet, see, what we do often is we get just thinking about that. Lord, I'm just concentrating on the thorn. It's just hurting so much. I don't want this in my life, God. And yet He's saying, honey, it's the greatest treasure. It's your crown. I'm telling you. It's your crown of thorns. Do you see what I'm saying? See, they meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, I'm starting to get that about the body of Christ. See, it's beautiful. Not just for me, but for you too. And oh, how pleasing. And oh, how wonderful it is. Brothers and sisters, I encourage us today to not dwell on it. Don't dwell on it. Don't worry about these things. And really just face the reality of it all. But for the grace of God, anything goes. Oh, yes. But for the grace of God. Paul walked into that finally, didn't he? He said, I've been thinking about this thorn all the time, and Lord, it could have been anything. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, He's searching us. And in closing, I pray we know that this isn't a searching for what the self-righteous imagines. Uh-uh. He's searching, will you be the true worshiper? Will you? Will you be a vessel that will receive my spirit and truth? I believe so. Oh, I believe so. Walking daily, brothers and sisters, through the valley of the shadow of death, yet fearing no evil, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Spirit and truth. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that this gives us new appreciation for the weaknesses that we thought were haunting us. You still not sure? Look to the Lamb of God. The weaknesses you thought were haunting you, let the glory of the word of His grace turn it around. Let Him give you a vision. Praise God, it's called a glory vision. That, honeys, it is well. Like the sister sang, praise God, it's well. I thank Him, brothers and sisters, that again, seeing this precious truth as Paul, the greatest jewels of our life. You want to come out of this wilderness? Do you? Praise God, I do. But there's one way you're going to come out. And that's leaning upon Him. Learning to lean. When I am weak, then am I strong. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's just stand and worship the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.